I recently found myself pondering a number of different things. Pondering things that were happening and honestly things that were not happening in and around my life. This specific reflection centered around a couple of difficulties and challenges. Now, looking back, in my opinion, is a healthy thing to do. It's a healthy practice. It helps us learn. It helps us grow. It's something I kind of need to do more of. Why? Well, I mean, we all know that we are forged in the fires of life. We learn and grow through adversity. I mean, quite frankly, how can we learn what to do right going forward if we don't acknowledge what we did wrong in the past? How can we get better at navigating the roads of life if we don't look in the rearview mirror sometimes and examine how we navigated those twists and turns and speed bumps? While it's good and necessary to stop and reflect, what is not good about the exercise I did earlier this month was it brought me to a mental state of mind where for a brief time, a few days, I stopped being thankful. Not in every area of my life, but certain areas. I found myself feeling disappointed. I found myself unhappy. I found myself unsatisfied. I wasn't as appreciative as I was before in those areas. And then I realized, you know what? The focus had shifted back to me. On my wants and my desires. Back to what I thought was the right thing to be happening around me. And it was away from God and the truth. That I have a lot to be grateful for. And that includes tough stuff. The stuff that hurts. The situations that make me feel uncomfortable. The trials and the setbacks. So this brings us to the key point I want to focus on tonight. And that is, it's important to stop and think. It's essential to always give thanks. It's important to stop and think. It's essential to always give thanks. In the video, the woman referenced a passage from Exodus where Moses felt alone, where Moses wanted to see God, where Moses was struggling to make sense of his circumstances. In turn, God not only acknowledged Moses' request, God went on to tell him something pretty amazing. God said he would make his goodness pass right in front of him. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Exodus chapter 23 as we look at this one-on-one encounter between Moses and God himself. Exodus chapter 33. But before we get started, let me give us a brief background for what's going on and the events that were leading into this passage. Now, after the Israelites, it's right after the Israelites had sinned against God by building and worshiping a golden calf. Well, God was ready to leave them. He was ready to lead their side. He's like, you can travel on your own if that's the God you want to follow. They're going to travel without him as they continue out of the promised land. God said this to Moses in verse 5 of Exodus 33. He said, tell the Israelites, you're a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments and I will decide what to do with you. He wasn't quite happy. God told Moses, you lead the people into the promised land. I'm not going. But without God's presence, Moses was very concerned. And as a result, he approaches God on behalf of Israel. Verse 12 through 17 of Exodus 33, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, remember this is Moses talking to God. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Here we see Moses wanted to know God's intentions for his people. He wanted to continue to learn and experience God's grace for himself. So he asked God, he said, listen, can you continue to guide us? Continue to guide your chosen people to the place of promise. Because he knew without God's presence on their journey, they would run into some serious problems. And in response to Moses' request, God reversed his threat. The threat we read about not to go with him in verse 5. But then Moses went on to make another request in verse 18. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Moses asked to see the glory of God. And you know what? God fulfilled that request, allowing Moses to get a deeper glimpse. Verse 19 through 23. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Although all of God's goodness, the scripture says, would pass in front of Moses, notice God did not want him to experience it in full. Moses had already received glimpses of God's glory, we're told in the scriptures, first at the burning bush in Exodus 33, later on the mountaintop in Exodus 24, and here in the tent meeting where Moses asked for an even greater revelation. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Matthew Henry wrote this in his commentary for these verses. He said, a full discovery of the glory of God would be quite overwhelming, and it would overpower the faculties of any mortal man in their present state. It would overwhelm him, even Moses himself. Man is mean and unworthy of it, weak and could not bear it, guilty and could not but dread it. It is in compassion to our infirmity that God, quoting Job 26:9, Matthew Henry goes on, holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth a cloud on it. It's in our passage we're clearly told that God was willing to show all of his glory, his divine goodness to Moses. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Furthermore, God would refer to himself using his sacred name Jehovah. But if Moses were to see his complete revelation, his full glory, it would be overwhelming. The God said he would be destroyed if he did. Matthew Henry then points out, he says, that, meaning to see God's full glory, is an honor reserved for a future state, to be the eternal bliss of holy souls. By placing Moses in a cleft in a rock and shielding him with his hand, God was displaying his mercy and compassion. When his complete goodness passes by, God would proclaim the name of the Lord. The Lord's name he used is Jehovah. That one points to his character. And here we see he chose that specific name, a specific aspect of his glory for Moses to experience, and that was his goodness. It was appropriate, given God had been disciplining the Israelites, and he wanted to make sure that Moses knew that God cared about his people. He cared about their best interests. So let's stop and capture a very important truth that you and I have to remember, highlighted in these verses, something that will help us in our journey to the promised land, our journey to the other side, our journey to heaven, so that we can remain faithful regardless of the circumstances. And the truth is, God's goodness in any measure is more than enough. God's goodness in any measure is more than enough. Moses got to see his back. That was good enough. Moses got to hear his voice through flame. That was good enough. Moses understood the purpose behind that which Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus prayed that the people would experience the greatest thing available to them in life, to know God. Moses knew God, and he wanted to even know more. His deep desire to know God led him to make a personal request, if you will, and one that God granted in part. But I have a feeling that was more than enough for Moses. The testimony of the New Testament underscores the principle that knowing God is the ultimate experience in life. Nothing compares. Although we don't experience God in a physical sense at this time, we get to experience him through faith. Even a mustard seed of faith, even a mustard seed can make all the difference in your life. Jesus said, "For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." Faith can move mountains in your life. Faith is what recently helped get me back on track. No longer thinking about myself and my circumstances. Back to focusing on God's goodness, his faithfulness. You know, every morning, God's goodness passes right in front of me when I open my eyes and see the dawn of a new day. A new day that I can live for him. A new joy, a new day to enjoy the life he's given. God's goodness passes right in front of me when the blessing of my wife, Miss Shanda, kisses me before she goes to work. God's goodness passes right in front of me as I go about my day, talking with friends, helping others, serving him in the role he's placed me within the family of God. His goodness passes before me when I receive a text or a call from my children, Lauren, Andrew, or I get a FaceTime from my grandson, Cole. When it's time to play Words with Friends with my mother or talk to her on the phone, God's goodness walks right in front of me. God understands our deepest desires, but he also knows that sometimes it's not in our best interest to fulfill those completely, or in the exact manner we request. Moses wanted to see it all, but God knew that was something that exceeded his current ability to handle. Last Thursday, like me, you most likely gathered together with family and friends to celebrate Thanksgiving with turkey and ham and dressing and the fixings and meatloaf. You stopped, even if only for seconds, I bet, on that day, to think about and consider all the things you have to be thankful for. You looked around at the dinner table, and yeah, that uncle that drives you nuts, you were thankful for him. Well, allow me to offer you a takeaway. Don't stop. Think Thanksgiving. Don't stop. Think Thanksgiving. Each of you have the ability, I promise you, to experience God's glory on many occasions as it passes right in front of you. It happens when you walk into your place of employment, when you step into the classroom, when you get a text from a friend, when you sit down to eat 3 square meals a day, when you leave the house and free to travel the roads, bicycle the countryside, boat on the lake. In a nation whose borders are well protected by women and men who put themselves in harm's way, every believer has the opportunity to experience God's glory. We have the opportunity to know him in a deep and meaningful way like Moses. Don't think for a minute you can't. We've already come to know some of God's ways, some of his character, his nature. We're studying every Saturday to learn even more. The work he does in it, the work in us, the work he does through us, and the work he does around us. We get to experience his glory. And we have something that Moses didn't even have. We have his complete written word. We have his ever-present spirit within us to enlighten us, to guide us, to encourage and strengthen us on our travels. So friends, stop and think every once in a while. Look back and learn from the past how you can grow in the future. But don't let that reflection incite anything other than gratitude and thankfulness. So thoughtfully penned into the words of a song by Danny Gokey, where he says, "It's like the brightest sunrise, waiting on the other side of the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope. Hold on and believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it." When you're thinking that you haven't got things going your way, you got to remember, as God's children, He wants the best for us, even when it might not seem that way. Furthermore, remember, you not only have God, you have your Westbridge family as well. He's given you people around you to do life together, so we don't travel the roads alone. With Him, we have others. The Apostle Paul wrote this in his letter to the church in Corinth, found in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13. He said, "You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of His Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large, integrated life in which He has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of His resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, His Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we used to use to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, they're no longer useful. We need something larger and more comprehensive. On the night before Jesus was betrayed, He gathered together His disciples in the upper room, and He instituted the ordinance of communion. After which He told them, "Keep doing this until I come back." Jesus said, "Do this and remember me." Of course, Jesus knew the events that would unfold before they would happen, events that would change everything, not just for His followers then, but throughout the entirety of time across the world. When we take in communion, when we partake, we remember Jesus' life, a life that was lived in perfection to the Father, all the way through His obedience to the cross. We remember His death and resurrection and how it made it possible for you and me to be free from sin. How that penalty was paid. How we escape eternal death and separation from God, born into a new family. And in that moment when you professed your faith in God, whenever that was, you became an adoptive son or daughter of God. No longer lost without hope. You are grafted, as we've been learning, into God's eternal family, chosen to be co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, we are part of something larger and more comprehensive. We're a part of the family of God. So much to be thankful for. Yeah, life gets hard. Times get tough. Maybe like you, maybe like me, you found yourself on occasion needing to stop and think. You remembered all the blessings and you got a little down. Well, remember His provision and His protection. Look at your life's journey with Christ by your side. Assess what happened and how you can avoid that pitfall in the future. And as we prepare for communion, today is such an occasion where I invite you to stop and think. As you spend the next few minutes with God, doing some thanksgiving. I don't think that's a real word. Thanksgiving. Stopping. Thinking. Then giving Him praise and thanksgiving for everything you're thinking about.